Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, October 25th, 2021.
Crazy one, crazy.
Yeah. Hear ye, hear ye. The October 25th, 2001 session of the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current. The copy of same has been posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building. This time, rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Board Administrator, please call the roll.
Commissioner Langraff.
Here.
Commissioner Crevel.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Vermin Zabi Hutch.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Tocco.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Wendy Bartlett.
Here.
Don Siglin.
Here.
President is Tom Halpin.
I was going to say, that's a fool. Now we'll have the, I have one. We'll have the adoption of minutes from the last meeting. Are there any amendments or changes to that? If not, may I have a motion in a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted. We have three resolutions this evening to be adopted. We'll do those as a group. They are P56-2021, P57-2021, and P58-2021. Are there any amendments or changes to those resolutions? Then hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
Make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Those carries with the abstain. And one abstention from Commissioner Langraft. At this time, those resolutions are hereby adopted. This evening, we have one application. And I don't know, do you have to make an announcement on the 6302?
Mr. Callahan, what are we doing with that?
We'd like to, keeping Brian Callahan from Callahan Thompson Thompson on behalf of 6302, Jake Winograd and South Ruchia for the Ocean First Banks to convert it into townhomes. We'd like to ask for an adjournment to a date unknown. We'd like to set up a second meeting with the Technical Review Committee to go over it. And depending on the outcome of that meeting, we would ask Carmella to reschedule us for a new hearing. We would give new notice and new advertisement. We've talked to the people at the villas. We've talked to the St. John's Church. And I indicated to them, both of them, that it was all for tonight, but that we would give new notice and everything else. So we don't want to catch them by surprise. We want to be completely transparent as we go forward.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Thank you.
And then I'll wait for Carmella to give me a new date. Thank you once again.
You're welcome.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
The application we're doing this evening is that of Joseph D'Angelo, 66,001 Winchester Avenue. Mr. Goldstein is representing. Okay, you want to do a preamble?
Yes.
All right, we're going to do a preamble first. Have everybody sworn that you'd like to be sworn. We'll start out that way first.
Okay. Mr. Manos, we are going to have, for your swearing in, our licensed professional planner, sorry, architect, Jack Smith from Bishop & Smith. We have Mike Lucy and the property owner, Joe D'Angelo.
Okay. Why don't the three of you just go down the line, state your name and business address or home address in the case of Mr. D'Angelo, and then I'll swear the three in together.
It's Jack Smith, Bishop & Smith Architects, 1344 Hughes Lane Road, Laurel Springs, New Jersey.
Okay.
Joseph D'Angelo, property here at 6001 Winchester Avenue in Ventnor.
Michael Lucy with Waters Edge Environmental, 1259 Asbury Avenue, Ocean City.
Okay, and if you can each raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth? Okay, and I'll get Mr. McLaren sworn in also. Mr. McLaren, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith, you're licensed in New Jersey?
Yes, sir, I am licensed.
And Mr. Lucy, are you...
I'm just an environmental consultant.
Okay, you're an environmental consultant, no license. So let the record reflect that the credentials for Mr. Smith are accepted. Okay, Roger, we'll do a preamble first, and then you'll come in and continue with your application in total.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Board Chairman and Board members. The report is based on the application of Joseph D'Angelo Jr., 6001 Winchester Avenue, Block 117, Lot 1, Ventnor, New Jersey, engineering and planning report seeking C variances, located within the R4 Single Family Zoning District, at preliminary firm elevation 9, deemed complete, and it's a hardship and a substantial benefit variance case. Materials reviewed on bottom of page 1 and continued on page 2. I'd like to point out one of the materials reviewed was NJDE permit 0122-05-0012.1. That's their land use individual permit and waterfront individual permit. And I believe Mr. Lucy is going to be talking about that for the bulkhead, the docks, and the single family dwelling that's proposed here. Page 2 are the architectural plans reviewed. The project description is as follows. The applicant seeks variance relief in order to construct a new waterfront single family dwelling, which has NJDEP permits to construct along with waterfront development permits to reconstruct a new bulkhead with piers and docking facilities. The proposed application is subject to ordinance number 2021-17, which requires new bulkheading for new or reconstructed dwellings. Zoning chart is on the bottom of page 2, continued on the next page. Highlighted all the variances, and again, it looks like a lot, but as of hopefully this coming Thursday, many of these variances would be eliminated by the proposed ordinances that we have in revision. So just to discuss the variances required, one is rear yard setback deck, second or third floor, whereas the decks above the first floor deck are permitted within the building setback, or 10 feet, and the small portion of the decks are less than 9 feet or encroach 1.05 feet into the rear yard setback is proposed. Again, if you look at the plan, it's just a small sliver of these two decks that don't comply because of the angle of the lot. Building height. Whereas the proposed building height permitted for this wide of a lot is 35 feet above 9, which is for the garage, from the existing top of curb, and 36.88 feet is proposed. So that's a variance of 1.88 feet. About 1 foot 10 inches almost. Eve height, whereas permitted eve height may not exceed 2 feet above the finished floor, the third habitable floor, at a point of the exterior wall measured to the top plate and said wall, and about 6 feet is proposed. And again, the only section where that does not comply is if you face the house on the right-hand side, there's, I want to say it's a turret, but it's a corner dormer that does not comply with the eve height. And again, that's technically a variance. The next three are all, next four actually are all dormer related. So it's dormer face setback from the wall below, dormer width, and distance between dormers along with the dormer length as a percentage of total length of building. And the applicant will discuss those variances. And I do want to point out that hopefully this week those variances will be eliminated. Rear yard deck height, second floor and the third floor. Whereas no deck is permitted to be higher than the first floor and the second floor deck is proposed. Again, because a portion of these are outside of the building envelope, they are technically a variance. Landscaping shrubs, landscaping and trees, I think these two variances will be eliminated as they will have a landscape plan that will include the shrubs and street trees. So I'll keep them as variances right now, but I think the application will testify that those will be complied with. Waivers of landscape plan, again, I believe the landscape plan is going to be provided. Survey older than 2 years, it's actually 16 years old, but the site has not changed in probably about 40 years, other than the bulkhead, which is shown on the DEP application plan. My recommendation is to grant that waiver as the house is going to be reconstructed. They have all new waterfront permits that show proposed existing, or proposed conditions as well as existing conditions. Further comments, the board may consider imposing adding street trees. Again, the applicant will discuss that. I'm not going to discuss every comment because testimony will give you insight. The building height variance may be caused by the property actually rising towards a bulkhead, which is actually desired for drainage purposes. Our ordinance requires the top of, the height measure from top of curb, so if the property rises, they're subject to that, you know, increase in height of the, ground versus the top of curb, so naturally a higher building is going to be shown. The eve height variance is where the right corner of the building viewed from the Winchester Avenue side, the turret, as I discussed, or is not a dormer, but the roof line rises above the floor, the third floor, and that requires a variance. Landscape, and I'll leave it up to the applicant to discuss that. And item comments number 10 and 11, I believe they will be addressed tonight, so I'm going to reserve my comments in my report. The public sidewalk should be continued to meet the city-owned bulkhead at the connection of the bulkhead and street on Derby Avenue. There's a, if you go to the site, there's a break in the sidewalk. It's fenced off, and that's actually within city public right away. And my thought is to continue a sidewalk all the way out to the bulkhead for keep that as public space, which is actually what it is. The sidewalk shall comply with all standards. Trees shall be October Glory maple or similar. If grading is to be altered or a grading plan is recommended, I know talking to the applicant today that there is some issues with the sagginess of the ground and the grade behind where the house is and between the bulkhead. Again, that's not the purview of this of the board, but it's an engineering issue that may have some grading issues as well. And I believe a new bulkhead is proposed to meet the city's elevation of elevation 8, even though a newer bulkhead is there now. And that's going to be my comments at this time. I reserve to comment later as we proceed.
Okay. Eric, have you gone over all of this, and it's acceptable to your client?
I have. Okay. There is one issue, Mr. Chairman, that we discussed back in July, and it's not really a matter for the board, but probably the governing body, which relates to a license or an easement or even potentially the sale of some property that's adjacent to this. I don't know how the governing body members want to address this, if we should come, Mr. Chairman, back before the governing body for the commissioners, but if that sliver, which runs parallel to the property line, obviously is going to get a new bulkhead, which we'll speak about, but I think it's ultimately the goal of the property owner to either obtain a license and easement or, best case scenario, to buy that because it is adjoining to their property, and it's hard with regard to the street end to picture the area from the end of the street to the bulkhead with public walkway because it's directly next to where the new house is proposed. But I'll deal with that however the board members and the commissioners would like. It's we can come back to a commissioners meeting and discuss that as well.
Talk about that right now. Tim, do you want that before the commission?
Well, it'll ultimately come before us. Yeah. Does it really have any bearing on what's going on tonight at all? Other than, yeah, I would rather that, because then if they talk about that now, then Tim and I have to.
No, I agree.
Which and, I'm fine with, but.
I would like you to stay. So I'll bring it to the governing body and that issue.
And we've already talked about it once or twice.
So we have.
Yeah, yeah.
We've done that in the past on other projects.
I think Ed has some opinions on what we should do, and we'll get together on that.
Fine, absolutely. I appreciate that.
That will not be included in tonight's presentation.
Okay, thank you. Okay. With that, may I begin, Mr. Chairman?
Okay. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Eric Goldstein on behalf of the applicant, Mr. and Mrs. D'Angelo. With me this evening is Olivia Mendler. She's a new attorney in our office. Happens to be a Ventnor resident. She actually wants to do land use, so nobody's talked her out of it yet. So please don't, because we need people. So
kiss your evenings goodbye.
With me this evening, Jack Smith, architect, is going to talk about the plans. Mike Lucy is going to talk about what probably is the most important thing here, which is the replacement of the bulkhead to a new and appropriate height. And of course, Mr. DeAngelo is here to answer any questions or make decisions about the property itself. Just by way of background, and obviously we've seen Roger's report and we've gone over it in depth, and we were here before the informal committee over the summer. This is a lot which is a little bit interesting because you've got areas on the property that are city-owned. You've got an angular cut on the rear of the property, which is really the property line. On the other side of that, potentially we're going to have a new dock system that Mr. Lucy's going to discuss. But it does have a little bit of an odd shape, and as Roger mentioned in his report, that's potentially driving some of these variances. So I'm not sure if everyone remembers this, but probably about 2 years ago, this was like the hot property in town that all the developers are trying to buy and put two separate single-family homes there. And while this was going on, Mr. DeAngelo, who wanted something for himself, was lucky enough to get under contract, and everybody said, someone's going to subdivide that, they're going to build, you know, two singles, it's going to be a change in the streetscape there. And notwithstanding the fact that this is a true double lot, his goal was to build his vendor dream house, one lot, one house, something that's significantly large, which I'm sure you've seen on the plans. But the goal is to build something for him. He can enjoy outdoor living space, indoor space, of course. It's a great location. But what's fairly important, which Jack will talk about in a second, if you're at the property, you're on the back deck area, and obviously it'll get different as you go up higher. You've got the Dorset Avenue Bridge directly to the right, and you've got the city yard directly to the left. It's a fairly well-traveled boat area trying to get in and out from under the bridge. So if you're at grade level, you've got traffic from boats, you've got the Dorset Avenue Bridge on one side, and you've got the city yard on the other. One of the goals in getting the house up a little bit and putting some significantly higher decks off the back was so the DeAngelo family could not only enjoy everything at ground level, but when it's busy with boat traffic and it's busy with, you know, cars coming in and out of the heights and the yard is busy, he can be up a little bit higher to kind of enjoy some additional light, air, and open space, which is obviously important to him and his family. So having said that, Jack, you've been sworn in. You could walk us through the general house you've designed. Please make particular note that we are going to comply no matter what with the landscape plan we're going to submit for street trees as well as shrubs. That was just an oversight. I didn't pick that up when we submitted the plan, but it will be fully compliant. And if Mr. Manos, the board's so inclined to grant the application, makes that a condition of the resolution, that's fine. We're going to comply with all landscape. That was just a little bit of an oversight. So Jack, if you wouldn't mind, just take us through the...
And Mr. Smith, before Eric, if you could just make sure he's qualified. I know it's not going to be an issue, but I don't know that you've been here at least recently.
Tell us a little about your qualifications and the great work you've done in South Jersey.
Well, I'm an architect in several states, but I primarily do my business in New Jersey. Sorry, try not to get this thing squealing on me. I've been actually at the same firm for 35 years. I've been the owner of this firm since 2008. I'm a Drexel graduate. I've been in front of this board and many of the shore towns as well. Just to give you a little insight, satellite office in Stone Harbor, and I just recently, as of last year, purchased a new office in Ocean City at 1245 West. So my firm is doing primarily shore work at this point and time.
He's been in front of the board many times too, so.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
That's okay, Jack, I love mine, but
credentials, Mr. Smith, are acceptable.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm going to deal with Mr. Smith, and I'll put this one down because I love your feedback. Jack, just walk us through and tell us about this awesome house.
Well, I'm going to go back to the first page here, and I just want to point out that this is... Is it right now?
I just think it's picking up from all the other microphones. Yeah.
I can speak loud if you'd rather.
If we have to look
at... Why don't we try that?
Let's try that. Yeah.
Jack, you want to just come closer and I'll cord this
Because it didn't seem to have much of a feedback issue when we were using this one.
Well, actually, that easel can be moved forward over to this area right here. Everybody can see it a little better.
Here, give me...
The speech will pick it up.
Are you here?
I will. Oh, the clips have gone down.
Now it's going to be...
Good enough. All right, this one's hot. All right, try not to touch us and have a drop.
So the first board I wanted to present to you was this is really just a massing model, and I want to make sure you understand that these colors don't necessarily represent what the colors of the building are going to be. They're really for us just to discern that that's a different material as far as the horizontal siding and maybe some cedar impression siding. And while I have this up here, I also want to address, I know there were some questions about the maximum eave height. What we're trying to achieve here is this turret type effect, which is common in a lot of the houses we're doing. We've done actually quite a few of these down in Stone Harbor. The effect is a very nice look to a shore house and is pretty common that you'll see throughout some of the shore towns. Again, that height there, so we're asking that, you know, maybe you could look at that as some architectural ornament in this, and not necessarily, it's not living space in there, it's really just an extended eave just for the aesthetics. You can see here we're going to put some stone base on here. Again, this doesn't represent what the landscaping will look like. Again, this for us was a massing model to be able to present to the client, but I thought it might be nice to bring it here so you guys could kind of get a feel for something other than a two-dimensional drawing. So with that being said, you can also see on the back here, you'll see some of the decks that we're proposing and how the shape of the building looks. We are trying to tuck that third floor up into the roof to bring the scale of the building down, and we've done that by bringing these eaves down. So again, that's the only eave in the entire building that's raised at this point besides the dormers. We talked a little bit about, we meet all the frontages for this property. The required is 37. We're more than double that at 95. Lot depth at 62.6, which would give you a minimum required of 2312 as far as the square footage for the lot. We're at 8,238, more than three times the allowable for this lot for one single family home. And as far as what we're looking at for impervious building coverage, we're only at 37% on the maximum, which 50% is allowed. And for total, we are at 55, where 75 is allowed. So,
Jack, I'm going to stop there because this is fairly important. Your testimony on the calculation. We're way under on both building and lot.
That is correct.
To the extent the end of the one will go to let the smaller house closer, the ground will spread it out further and have more impervious coverage. They could have about 20% more on the lot and 23% more on the house.
Yeah, quite substantial amount of area that could be increased on this.
So this is substantially smaller than the, otherwise be
the footprint is substantially smaller, which is allowing for more light and open air, you know, through the different homes. So again, we're not jammed up against the neighbors or any other hardscapes or buildings.
As far as the back of the house is high, we're not, as people say, maxing out the lot.
No, we haven't done that. On the only thing we're doing is pushing it up a little bit because we're trying to keep that footprint tighter.
Eric, real quick on Jack, just for sake of argument, it's a corner lot, so I took the waterfront side as being the rear and the left side as the side. So you have two fronts, one side, one rear.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. And I'm going to call Winchester my front if I address it that way. This is Winchester, right?
Yes.
Yes. So again, you can see that we haven't maxed this out. It is a substantially large house. Mr. D'Angelo has a large family, wants to be able to bring them in and live and spend their time there comfortably. We have addressed the parking. We do have six parking spaces on this property, so we've addressed all the parking needs. Again, we've already talked a little bit about the deck issues, and then we're hoping that that's something that's going to go through as of next week, so we really don't need to look at those. I do want to talk about the fact that the second floor decks, and it was already mentioned at this point, there's only a very, very small sliver that is actually beyond and goes down to that, it's 8 foot 11 inches. So we're a little over a foot for just a tiny sliver there, but it just, what it does is it creates issues with construction. It's going to create a very abnormal jog in this deck area, and so that is one of the reasons why we chose to straighten it out and just keep it a simpler construction, cleaner looking, and more aesthetically pleasing at the end of the day.
Mr. Smith, how many square feet are involved in that portion of the deck?
I could do the math, but I can't imagine more than 12, okay. 10 or 12 square feet.
Like 10 or 12 square feet?
Yes.
It's minimal.
Very minimal, very de minimis, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so as you can see with that, I can, and I don't want to bore you by walking you through the house, but I'll be welcome, you know, more than willing to do that if you chose to do that, but I could take you floor by floor. I did on here have time today, which you do not have in your information, but I threw on some bushes and some trees that are required that are along the site. But again, that's going to be addressed, and all the current and regulations will be met as far as the landscaping is concerned.
And we're not asking for a waiver of plans from Clark, so when we look to potentially build something here, it'll come with a landscape plan.
So when we do our submittal, we'll have all that with our final submittal.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if you have any other questions, but again, I'll gladly take you through the home, but I think most of you have those plans and can see, you know, what...
Why don't you just do a cursory, a brief view through the plan? Do a quick
sure. One. So entry level for this and is Mr. D'Angelo's primary living space, where some houses are upside down. Given the fact he's on the water, we generally keep our houses pretty much more of a standard living versus what you may consider upside down living. Family room across the rear of the house. Across the front, we have some additional bedrooms in here and a bunk room for children and grandchildren. There are 4 bedrooms on that first floor. The next floor up has a kitchen, a dining room, another living area. You'll see in this thing, in this view here, we have, we actually kind of focused in on the view to the bridge from where he's at here. It's just, you know, something to focus on through the back. So we've actually lined this whole corner with glass, an oversized kitchen, and I have 3 more bedrooms on this floor, and actually a secondary owner suite on this floor also. We do also, no, but we do have an elevator. And then finally, on the upper floor, which is Mr. D'Angelo's private owner suite, large walk-in closet area. We have a laundry area up there for him, and then he's got his own private den area for him to work out of home. And all these floors, of course, have the same deck area, although the third floor is slightly smaller than the second and first floor.
Jack, you discussed the house itself in general, the variances, the stuff we're going to comply with. In your opinion as a licensed professional architect in the state of New Jersey, could there be any possible detriment associated with this plan that the board would have been there?
No, and you know, when you look at the site plan of this, or look down at a satellite view, you can see this is almost nestled in that corner. So any intrusion of this deck further out is actually would be very difficult. You'd almost have to look back onto the original houses, but it's really not going to block any waterway views because of, again, the way it sets in there. And the fact that we've made this a smaller footprint and extended it up, again, we've created more area between the homes, which give more views to some of the houses in inland that may have some potential additional views through there.
So no detriment.
No detriment.
Benefits of this house being one, smaller, but those benefits greatly outweigh any other possible benefits.
I would agree with that, yes sir.
Would you opine that based upon the city of Ventnor, zoning code of the state of New Jersey municipal land use law, that the board would grant these variances, there would be no negative impact on either the city of Venter or the state of New Jersey or the travel board.
I don't see any additional detriment to this, with this project in this case.
Eric, in the plan set that I have, there is no ground floor plan. I know you have four parking spaces there. What else is going to be occupying that ground floor?
We have six spaces.
Four in a garage, two in the driveway.
Four in a garage, yes, two out front.
What else is going to be on that ground floor?
I would assume it's just going to be...
Well, FEMA says it can only be storage, so I...
Yes, so...
Any condition of approval should be a non-conversion agreement for that ground floor.
We've had some builders and residents come in and get relief with the building up higher, and then they've made livable space. So just be aware that that's a concern for the city. So Jack said something, I want to make sure it's on the record, that the laundry room up on the third floor is for you to do the laundry. That's what I heard. I'm joking. I want to make sure that's on the record for your wife to see that, that's all.
Right, absolutely, and I know that there have been issues with the illegal conversion of first floors, so we'll file the non-conversion on day one, because that's got to get filed anyway for your CRS rating, so no worries with that. If that's a condition, we're okay.
It's non-habitable space.
Correct.
That'll be the downstairs, and it'll be used that way.
Good storage space.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
No, I apologize, but no, we, you know, there are no intentions to do anything other than storage and garage.
Okay.
If you don't mind, we're going to have Mr. Lucy talk about this new bulkhead and the construction.
No, I think...
We have to go a little further.
I think they need to specify, specifically talk about the building height variance that you need.
What I'll do, Rogers, have Mike go, and then we're going to come back to clean up all the variance.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Mike, you wouldn't mind just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Michael Lucy. I'm the owner of Water's Edge Environmental. I started the company in 2005. I'm a graduate from the University of Delaware. I've been an environmental consultant for 30-odd years. I do probably somewhere in the neighborhood of, my office does somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 to 100 applications a year, mostly in South Jersey, but we do sometimes up in LBI and further north.
The other guys are going to talk about bulkhead, raising the height, creating greater flood protection for both the ambulance and the street ambulance, and also the city.
Yes, I do want to say that, but I also want to just point out what you were talking about, the first floor. There is a requirement under CAFRA that we do a deed restriction that prevents any development on the first floor habitable space. So that's part of this CAFRA permit.
So the city will have their non-conversion agreement, and CAFRA will make us file that as the county clerk, the CAFRA
deed modification. Deed. Correct.
So
the bulkhead's going to go to elevation 8. I think currently it is...
Six and a half.
And the intent is to replace all of the bulkhead, including the portion that's on the Ventnor property to the north, I think, northeast. The intent for that would be also to remove, during the construction, the spongy area behind the bulkhead, and in putting in the new tieback system and anchor wall, that area will be, fill would be placed in that area of appropriate lifts to avoid the sponginess. All of this will be presented in a construction plan that's going to be submitted to Ventnor as part of the construction application. I cannot speak to it specifically since I'm not an engineer, but I know the plan is done and should be submitted sometime in the near future.
So just to report, Roger and Chairman, Harvard Chu have prepared a grading plan, and then depending on the outcome tonight, the mayor may not have to have them modified, but really the most important thing we're trying to address, and I think I discussed this with you, Mr. Chairman, and perhaps Commissioner Landgraf from here in the summer, if you walk through the backyard, it's noticeable, you can sink in a little bit, not on a rainy day, but a normal day. It's very mushy, spongy, so the goal here is to take out whatever would be spongy and of bad quality material and bring in good fill into it. Correct.
And I think the bulkhead also will help reduce the amount of water that gets in there or gets trapped in there, especially with, I think, Chu's grading plan would have it sloped appropriately so there is proper drainage.
I'm not really sure how it got so spongy. I don't know if this is a common problem, but this is the first time I walked through a backyard, literally it was sinking in, almost a plastic restraining there. And this is years of water coming in and out. Both ends in bad shape as well.
Plus, one of the recommendations is to run the roof leaders through the bulkhead, so all your runoff generated from the property is just going to be the ground, not the house.
I think Chu is going to be incorporating that into his grading plan, as I recall.
Good.
While you're talking about the grading plan, not mandatory for this approval, but they often put marlin drains in and put selective soils in, and then a drainage in front of the bulkhead. So because water gets trapped with these high bulkheads, and it puts a lot of weight on them.
I agree, and I think Chu's design includes some small drains in the bulkhead that allow for, with backflow preventers, that allow for some drainage at
right.
the upper end.
You actually put pipe in septic soil, and then drop and have the water go right out, and it saves the bulkheads tremendously.
Chairman, I'm sure you're aware of it. That area is very low.
It is.
You have the street end, you have one of the duct openings with the water pipe going out, and a high tide, probably like this tomorrow, the next day, it fills up with water.
That's why I discussed it.
Right away.
Yeah, I just mentioned that, but it's not a requirement of this board, but it's something you might consider.
Yeah, I think it's good engineering design that I usually see on Chu's plans.
Okay.
So yeah, the bulkhead is going to connect to the street end bulkhead, as well as to the neighbors. Plus, on the neighbors' end, we're also bringing a turn back. The bulkhead will have a watertight seal of both connections, and the return is a 10-foot return on that side, not knowing exactly the condition of the neighbor's bulkhead, just to protect the fill on our property until that neighbor's bulkhead gets reconstructed.
Do they need a return on the street?
No, I think that by raising the elevation 8, doing your best to contribute to preventing any flooding in the Ventnor. You know, the assumption is that under the redevelopment plan, all these bulkheads will be increased in height, and I guess this is the start.
Yes, it is.
That's it.
So Lucy's going to stick around. Of course, if the board has questions, we're going to answer that before I put Jack back. And I just want to put Mr. D'Angelo on for just a brief minute to talk about his desire here. Because one of the things that's very important to him, this is going to be a house
for family and for generations. One of the things he brought up today, and I didn't think about it, it's not really binding, but I thought it was very interesting. This house is not going to be rented. It's not going to be on a VRBO. It's him, his family, kids, grandkids. And, well, Joe, you can talk about it a little bit, what you
yeah.
want to do.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
yeah, we actually, this is our 20th year trying to find the right property down the shore. So luckily, COVID put us back a lot. So we've been excited to be down here. We love the area. We love the St. Leonard's track, which is why we're trying to keep the house with the St. Leonard's type of style. Soften it up. You know, as Jack mentioned, the colors will be determined later. But we have a big family, you know, 12 to 14 of us get together every week for dinner. And the reason for the third floor is my better half is OCD, so that'll tell you why she wants to her own laundry.
I just want to make sure she heard your architect say that laundry was for you.
One of the things I'd like to point out that we spoke about, the sidewalk on the Derby side, if you're at the property and you've seen it, as someone mentioned, it's probably been this way not only 40 years, but probably 100 years. It's like an eyesore now with this broken down fence. And the way the street comes at the end of Derby, the sidewalk, when you go around the corner from Winchester to Derby, it ends. There is no concrete on the other side of that fence. It's all grass. And then you can't get to anywhere, even if that sidewalk would go straight, because if you step over, Derby ends right there, so that sidewalk wouldn't be, the curve curves, so there's really nowhere to go. You couldn't even get to an end of the bulkhead on the street end if you tried. So that's why we're trying to beautify that whole area and keep it, you know,
people turning onto Derby, coming over the bridge, that's the first thing they see coming into Ventnor. So we'd like to do something nice with that corner rather than that eyesore that's there now with the broken down fence, and that's the first view they have of coming into Ventnor. So we really love the area, love the neighborhood, and you know, we'd love to, you know, beautify it as best we can. But that's why it's not a straight run. I just wanted to make sure if you're at the property, you would, even if that sidewalk went straight, the street end would be over here. There's nowhere to walk to. So that's why it's really irrelevant to that, to that side of the property.
Yeah.
Anything?
Oh,
great. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, any questions?
Jay, if I could ask a question?
Please, please.
Eric, when you guys filed your CAFRA permit, your waterfront development permit, the city signed off on that because part of that was our property, right? Yeah. So we signed, we've already been working with these guys on that, so, yeah.
On the sidewalk? No.
On the bulkhead and that, bulkhead. That whole area over there, there's, it's...
It's a significant area. If you look at the survey, it shows what the hatched areas. So there's an area that the state and both the city has an interest in, all of which are signed off on for you. Capital, but it's a very irregular shape. It's not a straight line. It kind of hooks around towards the Dorset Avenue.
Yeah, there's some irregularities, to say the least, with the right-of-way, the property there. So we'll work through it.
And thank you. Yes, as Eric mentioned,
any questions,
you really sink
applicant,
in very deep into that ground out back. So we'd love to bring, if we're raising a bulkhead, I figure might as well spend the time and effort now to raise it up because it gets a lot of water in that, on that end. And the neighbor actually next door has to move their cars when it rains on that end of Derby, the house that sits a little bit behind us across Derby. So that's my thought of bringing it, listening to the experts of bringing that up. And if we're bringing the bulkhead up, try to bring up the ground a little and really fortify, because you sink in really deep when you walk back there. But thank you.
I just want to make another statement. And I work in a lot of different towns along the coast, and I'm starting to hear a lot of talk about bringing these properties up as they redevelop them. And one of the towns that is actually already on board on this is Stone Harbor. They're already requiring every new build to raise their lot. And it's in the neighborhood of a foot to a foot and a half or so. So it is something that's becoming more prevalent. So this may not be a bad thing for this town to start considering some of these lower areas, why they have that builder developing the property to already consider that height increase.
Doesn't that create issues with the flood hazard permitting and all that?
I don't know all the logistics of it, that or how they're doing it there, but it is something that every property that I work on. And I don't mean to keep dwelling on Stone Harbor, but I do.
No, that's fine.
I've done, in the last 5 years, I've done 150 homes in there. We're starting, that's the latest requirement, is to raise the property.
You still do the planning board meetings on Friday nights?
Yeah.
Once I worked there. Never.
Yeah, don't say
on there,
please.
So, Mr. McLaurin and Mr. Chairman Cook had some questions about the height.
Yes.
So let's talk about the height from finished first floor up to the roof beam and describe how you design the house, taking into consideration the fact that we do need a slight height variance. Not enough to make it a D, of course, so just so everyone's aware, we advertised only for a C variance, so we're still less than 10% of the overall height. But let's discuss with the board how you got that number and what is, from the finished first floor up, required.
So these are two-dimensional drawings of the elevations of the home. And as you can see from top of curve, the height is measured from 9 feet above that and then 35 feet from there. That's the maximum height required by the zoning ordinance. And what we are fighting here is trying to achieve this third floor fit, but we need to fit in there and get proper heights for the limitations of the other eaves here. I can't push them up. So it forced us to work within the roof, and we had to find, you know, kind of a fine line between minimum roof pitches and heights of the roof and, you know, living space up there. And that's ultimately
where we ended up with this, you know, 1.88 feet of additional height, that would help us to achieve what we need to for a functional room and bedroom and space up there. And that would.
With regard to the height, we mentioned the same question I had before about the justification of the variances. Because the house is smaller, because the house doesn't take up as much of the lot, you went a little bit higher. Do you see any possible negative associated with the house being 1.8 feet higher than it's allowed by the code?
No, I mean, it's, you know, there's no additional obstruction because there's no one on the other side to see that the house in front of it, whether it was a foot and a half lower or a foot and a half higher, doesn't change their view. But what does change their view is making the house narrower. Okay, so the height, they already can't see over, but when we narrow the house and make it a little higher, and give them more distance, more views through between the property lines.
So is it fair to say that by making the house slightly higher but less massive, a little yes. narrower, this on the D'Angelo's house preserves the light, air, and open space of the other homes around?
That's correct, and that was in their what we were hoped to be a trade-off in keeping it narrow.
Okay.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Well, you're talking about height in the property, and the roofs are obviously sloped.
Yes.
What portion, can you kind of show us what portion of the roof, it's not the whole floor as I interpret,
no,
right?
No, it's just coming up in here.
Bless you. Thank you.
This, I mean, there's only a small portion of it right here that extends up beyond that. And, you know, just
so you're talking maybe 10% of the roof, 15% of the roof?
I would say probably less than 10%, more like 5%.
Of the roof itself, yes. is above the height line.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's just along that ridge, right?
Yes. And that's probably all vented space in there. Dead space. Is that dead space?
Oh, yes, sir. It's not
called dead space.
Space at that point, no.
It's not habitable. Okay. Continue.
Talked about the negatives for a second. Let's talk about the positives. Based upon what a couple of questions revealed, percentage of the roof over the allowable height, would any variance granted, the benefits greatly outweigh any potential negatives that could be associated with it?
And again, I think the benefits are that I'm creating more space between the building instead of giving them less height. By narrowing it down and giving Mr. D'Angelo what he needs for his space and for his family, again, I create more light and open air space.
Okay. With that, Mr. Chairman, we'll answer whatever questions you have, but I think we're going to rest subject to when we call witnesses potentially, but I think we'll put the case in as we want it to be.
I'm going to go into the public portion right now, and then we can go back to for
sure.
the board any questions. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing no request and seeing no request, the public portion is now closed. Board members, you're free for questions. Anything you'd like to discuss, please.
Just a quick question. You mentioned you have a 10-foot return on the Margate side of the bulkhead. So is that so it's going to be contiguous with the neighbor?
That's correct.
I'm just curious if that's going to be bordering there in the bulkhead. I like the idea.
Haven't seen the plan for is that included in this? Okay.
On the permit plan?
On the permit plan? Yes.
It shows it going to almost the face of the porch.
So we will be tying into the neighbors, but then we're extending it further, not knowing the condition of this adjacent bulkhead.
So Mike, real quick. Looks like a portion of the new bulkhead is it's a remove and replace, then another portion is outside of the existing?
No, actually, I think everything's removed and replaced. You may be seeing, if you're looking at the permit plan, if I'm correct on this, we are showing the former bulkhead in order for the calculate the ISS mitigation for the CAFRA permit.
So this is the third bulkhead, so you have to remove the second one to put the new one?
Correct, and some of the bulkhead that was replaced some years ago went out much further than they were authorized to. So
imagine that.
Questions?
One question, if I could.
Please.
Eric, I'm not sure who to ask the question, maybe Jack. You said that the property elevates as it goes back towards the bulkhead. It increases from the street line towards the bulkhead, it gets higher.
Correct.
How much are we talking, a foot, 2 foot? Existing, we're talking about.
Actually, my reach, very, very slight.
Okay.
So, I think we're going, it's at the bulkhead, it's a little over 5, and at the street, it's about 4 change. Is it on your survey?
Yeah, I have, it's like the top of the curve is 5.6.
Right, 6.5, 6.7.
Oh, there are 5.
Okay, going on to 6.75, so.
About a foot and a half.
About a foot or so, a little over a foot.
Right. And that's where the house is going to be.
Right.
So there's your foot and a half.
Yeah, where's the grade of the first, the ground level floor? It's going to be around 6.
The height of the first floor?
No. Yeah, the ground level.
Oh, ground
level. Garage and ground level.
I believe, yeah, I mean, we're probably going to be closer to 7 than that because of the height from the back grade, so trying to fall some.
So the garage is going to be around 7 feet?
Yeah.
Good, because otherwise it's going to keep flooding out.
Well, that's the goal. Mr. Chairman, one of the things we've been very concerned about, we want the board's input, that area does flood badly, and the garage is going to be at grade. So the more we can get the property up out of your normal street flooding, the better. But we also don't want to raise the grade to a level that's going to cause a problem with the neighbors. So we're trying to balance that as much as possible. But what you just said is correct. If we're at current grade that we know floods, ultimately it's going to be wet in the garage. So yeah, we're trying to avoid that.
And the first floor and the lower level too. So that's
for storage purposes, we'd like it to be a little higher, but we also have to manage the water and drain it back out to the bed.
And you have neighbors in also.
Correct.
There's a limit. So you feel you've got it.
There's some engineering issues that have to be addressed.
And that'll be on the drainage plan, I mean the grading plan, of course, that Arthur Chu submits, but removing whatever that mushy soft fill in the back, filling it with good, hard, compacted soil, and then raising this up to a level that won't allow the cars to flood in the garage, that's the goal.
Yeah.
And that's what's pushing the house up out of the ground a little bit further.
Yeah, that's pushing it up.
That was the point of the question.
And the hard part is trying to work from the lower portion of this up curve 5.3, which is very low.
That's very low.
And that's something, Mr. Chairman, I think we ought to look at making an adjustment somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's too early to comment on that now.
No, I don't.
It's very tough because, you know, this is the first house that's been built in the new reg, so if everybody were to do it at the same time, it would be easy. Just bump everything up, you're going house by house by house. It's no different than a bulkhead. And you raise the bulkhead and you raise the grade, if everybody else does it, we're all out of harm's way. But if one person does it, it's like the missing tooth in your mouth. One low bulkhead, one low house, and that's where the water comes from.
Well, what the issue is, you're penalized if the top of curb is lower than the grade.
Yes.
If it's higher than the grade, it's you get a benefit.
Yeah.
Right.
Having my Arthur and I used to work together, and I know we've done grading plans together, and he knows what I'm looking at and looking forward to. And I can tell the board that there's no way there's going to be drainage going on to the neighbor's property with that grading plan.
Good.
Okay.
The capital permit also includes a retaining wall along that neighbor's property. So it extends from the bulkhead all the way to the street.
Sure.
So it's going to contain the fill and direct any water
I've seen
off of the neighbor's property.
Yeah. So you don't have that. And again, 100% of the roof runoff will be going directly into the bay instead of on the neighbor's, instead of going into the street end, because I know the end of Derby Drive floods during a light rain.
The decks are all waterproof, are fiberglass decks?
Yes.
You will drain that, will you gutter those and drain those too?
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
I would suggest you do that and have them go into the same rain leaders that go through the bulkhead. Because this is a problem with the wetness over here in the end of that street end. Yeah, thank you.
The deck cannot be connected to the runoff for the roof.
It cannot?
No.
Oh.
Because when you clean a deck, you use detergents and stuff like that, so that can't be co-mingled.
Okay. I stand corrected.
And Joe just pointed out again over something I was unaware of until just now. He said the retaining wall on the neighbor's side of the property will come all the way back. So you've got no problem draining on the right side of the house, because that would be Derby. The left side is not going to drain on the neighbor because you have the retaining wall and you've got the bulkhead return. So everything has to go back towards the bay, which is the goal. So there'd be no water in the street. Presumably there'd be no water in the street or on either side.
Yeah. A condition of approval should be approval of the grading plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's going to be important here on this one.
Yeah, and then the knowledge that they're now putting in a retaining wall all the way back from the bay along the neighbor's property, the neighbor really should be unconcerned. They're getting a new bulkhead, a new retaining wall, and all the water will go either out to the bay or be kept on site through the bulkhead with the one-way drains.
Just for the record, for the number of bedrooms here, how many parking places are required under the calculation?
Four.
And, or four.
I believe four is required, and we're providing six.
Okay. And all of those spaces are set spaces, are conforming spaces?
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Okay. So we exceed the parking thing. Good. Is there anything else you wish to discuss with the board?
Yeah, the only thing I want to discuss, and this is more of a compliment to the board and to the governing body, you know, this project first came up over the summer. Joe had been working on this forever. And the time that the city, the planning board, the governing body spent with us, it was substantial, and substantial for this reason. We wanted the plan to work, knowing it's a little bit high, it's on the bay, we want it to be a show house, but more importantly, Joe wants it to be a house that's going to be in his family for, you know, the next 80 years. And almost every aspect of it is over-designed. But there was a fair amount of input we needed from the board and from the city. So thanks for getting us this far. We're going to ask for a vote in the affirmative. Hopefully we get it. And if we do, I'm sure we'll be back in touch on a fairly regular basis with grading, with compliance plans. So more of a preemptive thank you. But this was a tough case to get ready. It took a while, but now that we're here, I think we put the case on where the board can grant this without any substantial or any detriment at all, but it's clearly no negative. The substantial benefits would outweigh any possible negative associated with this. And like I said, up until tonight, I didn't realize the extent of the return of the retaining wall. So with that, we would rest and leave it to you guys for a vote.
Okay. And you are now completely correct.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, are there any questions of our professionals, of the applicant, of the board members?
One question for Roger.
Yes.
Can you outline which of the variances would go away if Tim and I vote yes on the new ordinances next week?
Please.
Thursday.
This Thursday, that's right. It is the fourth week of the month.
In my list, it would be 4 through 7.
Okay. So half of them. More than half.
And 10 and 11 are going to go.
You couldn't wait. And 10 and 11 are being eliminated. On
yeah, the board's going to be bored, B-O-R-E-D, but it has all this less. The dormer thing goes away.
Right. Yeah, the dormer was, that's, that we've changed that twice since we've been in office.
And the way, yeah, well, because everything used to be under the roof slope envelope.
Right.
And anything above that shape.
It was.
Was a variance.
We got rid of that.
We got rid of that, and then, but we still wanted to address dormers.
Yeah.
But I think the mindset of the subcommittee at the time was, well, we don't want to take a giant step, so we kind of kept the St. Leonard's Tract mindset.
Yeah.
And as we've learned in the last couple of years, it's probably not the way to go.
Right.
The St. Leonard's Tract is still going to be St. Leonard's Tract, but to get more design features from like Jack.
Right. This opens it up to the architects to be able to show us stuff like you've done. The different roof lines, I think, are great.
Right.
It breaks up that whole roof line and really, I think, did a good job with the massing of, especially in the front, where you got those different roof levels, to me, just brings that height right down. So
just to, Mr. Chairman asked me to put on the record which variances would go away, hopefully this week. Would be, one would be the dormer face setback from the wall below. where we require 18 inches dormer width, whereas the maximum dormer width is 10 linear feet and 16.5 feet is proposed. That would go away. Distance between dormers, we tried to spread the dormers out. What I did, it actually hamstrung some of these architects and some of the designs. Minimum was 5 feet, and they're proposing less than 5 feet. So again, that's a penalty that's not really applicable to this case. And dormer length as a percentage of total length of the building, where you had 100 feet of building, you're only allowed 30% of that to be dormers. So we're eliminating that because dormers facing the beach, you might want more dormers facing the beach or the water here, so that's going away. And again, to reiterate, the landscaping, the shrubs and landscaping trees, those variances are being eliminated based on the testimony tonight.
And a landscape plan will be submitted for your approval?
With the grading plan, too.
With the grading plan. Okay. If you're ready, Leo, please frame a resolution.
Okay.
That we can...
All right, so C variance application. So someone needs to make a motion to grant C variance relief and a second for the following variances, which I'll run through real quick. The rear yard setback to the second and third floor decks in the rear must meet the 10-foot setback requirement, and then they're at 8.95 feet on the second and third floors for that small portion that we discussed. Building height, they're at 36.88 feet, where 35 is the permitted maximum. The eave height always gets me, so I'm just going to read right from Roger's report, where the permitted eave height may not exceed 2 feet above the finished floor of the third habitable floor at a point to the exterior wall measured to the top plate of said wall, and 6 feet is proposed. The next floor, the dormer variances, which we discussed that hopefully come Thursday, will be eliminated, but the dormer face setback from the wall below, at least 18 inches is required, and they're proposing zero. The dormer width can be 10 feet. They're proposing 16.5 feet. The distance between dormers is required to be at least 5 feet, and several of the dormers are less than that. And then dormer length, the length of a dormer should be no greater than 30% of the total length of the building, and the south and north ends have dormers that exceed that. And then again, those four are most likely going to be eliminated come Thursday. But the rear deck heights, second and third floor decks, decks are technically not permitted to be higher than the first floor, so that they're proposing the second and third floor overlooking the water. The conditions, there's one waiver, the survey is older than 2 years, but Roger commented on that. And then the conditions will be that the applicant will submit a landscaping plan as well as a grading plan to be approved in the discretion of the board engineer and planner, and then they'll supply that non-conversion agreement for anything below, for the ground floor, no habitable space.
We'll do it. Mr. Mattis will also supply the city with a copy of the corrective deed required for CAFR, so you'll have both the non-conversion and the CAFR deed for the space below the base flood being unusable for living.
That is
complete. Yep.
Okay. May I have a motion and a second?
Make the
please.
Motion.
Second.
We'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons.
Commissioner Landgraf?
I vote in favor of the application. I think they've really worked with this property. It's a difficult property to redevelop. Some crazy lot lines, depth, and things like that. And also the fact that we're going to be eliminating a lot of these variances, hope to be eliminating a lot of these variances in the next few days. I vote yes, and I don't see any detriment to our plans here, and I think it's a great-looking project and a great building. Good luck to you, Joe.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kriebel?
So this is an exceptional lot, and it's in state lineage tracts. I think everything that Commissioner Landgraf said, I agree with. There's a lot of trade-offs here. I think they mass this building in a way that it fits the neighborhood in St. Leonard's, and those are some of the things that triggered the balcony
setbacks. We've all seen houses that are designed by setback, and they all look like they've been designed by setback with awkward angles and awkward balconies. So I'll trade a house that looks designed for one that looks designed by default. And that's just one of the reasons. We also have bulkhead is a big benefit, and that street does flood, and I think we went a long way to try to mitigate that, not just the city, but the neighborhood. So there's more good things to say about this than not on the usual.
Thank you.
Jay Cook?
I'm voting yes for the property. I think, first of all, it's replacing a building which is obsolete and floods. That property has done that forever, and they've developed a very good sense of dealing with the anomalies or the some of the problems that would exist on that property. The good thing about it is we're seeing the finishing of that street area with the sidewalks, the way the house is set up. So there is light and air around the house. The house for its size is not overly high, as you would, and the height that they're asking for is actually generated by the actual site situations itself. And the height variance itself is very de minimis. It only is dealing with about 10 to 15% of the roof area. And so as an individual, you wouldn't see it. It's almost innocuous. The references were made to the property across the street. That's a lower property, and the sight lines that they're getting around the property by its design are helpful. So they're working with the neighborhood. The public benefit, there's no detriment to the inherent public benefit and public guides. So this is working within the congruency of our master plan, and at the same time is working with storm, visual aesthetics, good landscaping, and then solving the given problems. One other note, next to the property is Derby Hall. It's is the property which was known as Derby Hall. That property may be bigger than this one. I'm not sure, but it's pretty close. So to scale in the neighborhood, this property is within scale within that neighborhood. So I'm voting yes.
Thank you.
Roman Zabihutch.
I also vote yes. I feel that the variances are warranted. Quite a few or several will be eliminated, hopefully, in the next couple of days, as the commissioners have said. The variances related to the decks facing the water, I think, are not significant because it's towards the water. It's not affecting any neighbors. On that, the height, I think, would be appropriate. And I think the design dictates the few remaining variances that are there. So it's going to be a great addition. Tries to eliminate some of the problems with the flooding. So it's a positive for the city.
Thank you.
Lorraine Salata.
There really isn't anything I don't like about this application, which is kind of unusual for me. I think it's a beautiful design. I like the efforts that have been made to reduce some of the flooding there. The higher bulkhead is so important for that particular area. And what I really like about this is they have a very large lot, and they didn't try to fill the whole lot to its maximum, because that's what we see. People are right up to the setbacks, still want more coverage, and I love the fact that this is open and airy, and even though it's a very big structure, I don't think it's going to give the appearance of being heavy and bulky. So with pleasure, I vote yes on this.
Thank you.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of this application. This is a very deceptive, but one of the most beautiful lots on the waterway. I've dealt with the family a long time, and the dysfunction of the house was incredible. And what you've done here fits that lot. If you haven't stood in the yard, you don't understand. But once you get to the rear, that's the beauty of the lot. The way you set it up, it's perfect for that lot. and things, the drainage, you know, it's a challenge, but you're doing what you can to mitigate that. It's beautiful, it's beautiful location.
It's a big thing.
Mike Wiesen.
What I like